you view your entire life, you view the world around you, you view everything through the prism of the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation to God in Him. You view everything through that prism, and all of a sudden you're looking at everything from a position of strength.
The world is unified in its opposition to Christ and His righteousness. Government, media, education, and even business throw their weight and authority against God and His people. How can we stand in the face of it? Well, the answer is coming your way today on the Truth Pulpit. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and Pastor Don Green is continuing our series, Strong for the Battle. Don, the first thing we need to realize is that Christians ultimately have nothing to fear.
Well, my friend, that is exactly right. There is nothing to fear if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to be saved means that all of your sins are forgiven and that God will receive you into heaven when you die. And even in this life, God is with you to keep you, to protect you from Satan, and to sanctify to you the worst of trials that you go through. That's true. There is nothing to fear if you know Christ. Look to Him. Look to His Word. He will keep you until the end.
Thanks, Don. And friend, have your Bible open to Ephesians 6 as we join Pastor Don Green right now.
Look at Ephesians chapter 6 with me. We're in the midst of a study of the armor of God, and I'm grateful to God for the providential ordering of the timing that allows me at this point in my ministry to preach exactly this passage and to proclaim the sufficiency of what God has done for us, even in the midst of the outward hostility to all things Christian that is only going to get worse as the restraints of government are removed and people are more free to aim the hostility that they have toward Christ against those who follow Him here on earth. Let's read the whole passage to set it into context, and then we're going to focus particularly on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 here in our message. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Beloved, let me just lay something really simple and basic and obvious out to you as we consider these things, as we try to realistically assess the evil world in which we live, the challenges that face us now and that we expect to become more difficult as the last days draw closer near. You must understand this, and you must view yourself, you must view your life, you must view your fidelity to Christ from precisely this perspective. A soldier's valor is tested in the midst of conflict. It is when a soldier is tested by enemy fire that he is most displayed as being a courageous, worthy soldier of the medals that will one day come to adorn his vest. And beloved, this time in life, this world that God has placed us in, this life that God has given you with all of its attendant struggles and uncertainties, even on a personal level, beloved, this is your arena. This is your realm. This is your sphere of action. This is where God has providentially placed you so that you would manifest the exquisite glory of God, even though there is very little in your surrounding environment to support you in the process. This is our realm to shine. And beloved, God has equipped you for the battle. God has equipped you for the conflict. God has equipped you for the smoke of the battle. God has equipped you for the fiery darts that come in the midst of it all. From whatever realm you face the things that we discussed, whether it's in that world system realm or in your personal life or difficulties in relationships and losing loved ones to death. Because what has God given us? What do we have in our salvation? Well, and is it sufficient for the need of the day? Well, look, God has given us His truth. He has given us His Word written and incarnate in Christ. He has given us righteousness in the sense that He has given us the very righteousness of Christ imputed to us, clothed us in the righteousness of Christ that we might know for certain that all of the demands of God against us have been perfectly satisfied in Christ. And therefore, we are reconciled. We are at objective peace with a holy God. We have His truth. We have His righteousness, and in our salvation, we have peace with Him. Objective peace. The God who once was angry with us has been satisfied. The God who once was the enemy of our unrighteousness is now our friend. The Lord of angel armies is always by my side now that I am in Christ. And so you must look beyond the visible things of this world and the visible things of this life to the invisible, unseen realities of salvation, of Christ, of those things to which the Word points us as we study it together and as you read it on your own. Beloved, you are called by God to live by truth in this evil world. And to let truth be that which shapes your perceptions. To let truth be that which sets your priorities. To let truth be that which gives you courage when all of the world seems to be arrayed against you and even your own heart and prayers fail in their weakness and corruption. You're to live by these truths. You are to own them. You are to embrace them. They are to permeate the very essence of the inner core of your inner man so that you respond and you analyze life and you think about your existence all from that great perspective of strength given to us by the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation with Him. You see, when you're in the midst of a battle with an evil, supernatural, wicked, unseen foe, you need to know that you're given what is needed for the battle. Well, beloved, whatever else Satan can do, if he succeeds in destroying the world's perception of male and female gender, what you need to see is that even if he could do that, what he can never do is he can never pull down the truth of God from its perch of preeminence. He can never pull Christ down from His place at the right hand of the Father. He can never, because He tried on earth, He can never diminish, He can never successfully attack the righteousness of Christ, which is the ground and foundation of your salvation. He can never snatch you out of the hand of the Father, John 10:28-30. And so whatever else He can do in creating this scene of a horrifying conflict, what you have to do is you have to come back. You have to step into the realm of what God has done, who God is, His unconquerable supremacy, His surpassing sovereignty, and realize that whatever Satan can do in this evil world can never assault the things that are the very foundation of the eternal well-being of your soul. Satan can never undo God's truth. He can never undo Christ. He can never undo your salvation. What does that mean as you go through the battle? It means that you're secure. It means that you're strong. It means that you have everything that you need to go through without concern that the world will somehow dislodge you from your security in Christ. It's impossible. Satan cannot attack these things of God, no matter else what else he might do with the surroundings in this world. You're to live by these truths. How do you do that? That's the question for today. How do you take these things that you know to be true, that are revealed in Scripture, how do you take them so that you are strong in the battle and not weak and fearful? If ever there was a time for the Church of Christ to rally around these truths, it's the day and age in which we live. The men, even the good men, who highlight all of the negative things going on in our culture, but leave you in a state of fear or doing you a disservice. When they show you all of the complexities of the things that have led to this state in which we live, and yet they stop short of saying, but even in the midst of that, you have all of the resources that you need in Christ in order to flourish in the midst of it, they're doing you a disservice. And it may be that you simply need to take your own initiative, and rather than relying on leaders and teachers to point these things to you that maybe they're not emphasizing as they are in the midst of the battle themselves, you, by contrast, you in the privacy of your own home, you in the quiet of your own prayer closet, you come to these things and you feed upon them and you draw the strength and nourishment you need so that you can be strong. So that you can stand firm. There's no excuse for us to be weak and fearful, even in the environment in which we find ourselves. No excuse for that whatsoever. Not when God's given us all that He's given us in His revelation, in the righteousness of Christ, and in our reconciliation to Him. What do we have to be fearful about? What do we have to be afraid of? What could possibly penetrate the iron veil of security that God has surrounded us with in those areas? Nothing can, not even a supernatural wicked foe. And so we go to these things as our fortress, as our rock, as our refuge, and we find our strength to live with confidence, to live with serenity, even when the most urgent things of life seem to be compromised around us. By the way, one other thing, one other tangent here. Finally starting to dawn on me after all of this time. If you hope and look to the world, look to news reports, look to legislation, look to political results, look for any manner of something from the world to encourage you in this direction, you're going to be disappointed because it's not going to be there. So stop looking for the encouragement there. Of course, the headlines are going to be negative and are going to be discouraging to us. Of course, because the headlines are coming from within the evil world system that is opposed to us. Why do we look to the realm of politics, the realm of something in media, to be that which would give us strength? Why would we lean on the broken staff of Egypt when we have the rod of Jesse, when we have the king of Israel to look to for our strength and support? Well, that's what we've got to do here. And this is how you do it. Three things today, just from verse 16. It's actually pretty simple. Scripture says, God didn't save many noble, not many wise. Scripture tells us a prince is a false hope for victory, and so is a strong horse in battle. False hope! So let's push that aside and say, okay, God, how is it that you would give me strength? What would I rely on that would be reliable, that would be trustworthy, that would be sufficient? Watch this, beloved, that is not subject to change. Three things. First of all, here's what you do. And I can't do this for you. And God doesn't do this for you. It is your responsibility to take these things and to do them yourself, as you will see. Number one, first of all, affirm your confidence in Christ. Affirm your confidence in Christ. Beloved, we don't live by sight. Our perspective on the world is not subject to the shifting sands of political elections or newspaper headlines. You are set. You rely on your sufficiency in Christ in those realms that He has given to us. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 16. The Bible says that in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Those of you that are using the English Standard Version see that the opening of this verse says, in all circumstances. In the original language, it's a two-word phrase, in all. And so the translators are trying to help flesh out the meaning of what that means. But it's simply the idea in all. In everything, take up the shield of faith. In other words, whatever comes to you in your life, whatever happens in the world around us, it doesn't matter what the details are. In everything, do this. Take up the shield of faith. In everything. In other words, you view your entire life, you view the world around you, you view everything through the prism of the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation to God in Him. You view everything through that prism, and all of a sudden you're looking at everything from a position of strength. But you need to be confirmed in it. You need to be established. You need to be confident. You need to assert it. Paul talks about the shield of faith. He's extending the metaphor of the Roman armor, the soldier armor that a Roman soldier would wear. When we think of a shield, we sometimes think of the little round disc that you would hold in your hand and, you know, maybe the size of an oversized dinner plate. That's not what Paul's describing here. No, this is a word that points to something else. It points to a large shield. It actually comes more from a word that means door. It was a shield that was 4 feet long and 2.5 feet wide, that was covered in animal hide and bound together with iron. This was the shield that the Roman soldier used in battle, and he would crouch behind it, and it would cover him and protect him in the battle. It didn't leave anything exposed when he used it properly. Why did he need a shield like that? Because in the method of warfare at the time, the enemies would try to kill him with arrows that were dipped in flaming pitch and then shot at him. And if he was hit with one of those arrows and it sunk into his body, it would mortally wound him. But the design of the shield was such to absorb the impact of the arrow, extinguish the flame so that there would be no injury or death wrought by such a powerful attack. Beloved, that shield kept him safe so long as he kept it up at all times. Paul is using that word picture for you to have a sense of how central, how vital it is for you to ever keep focused in your mind the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation with Him. That is your defense against the wickedness of the evil world around you. It is your source of encouragement when you battle your own internal corruption and fears. Paul calls it a shield of faith. Watch this. The shield of faith. Once in a while, Scripture will use faith in the sense of the faith, the revealed body of doctrine that Scripture teaches. That's not the sense in which Paul is using it here. He's talking about faith in the sense of your personal trust and confidence that you place in these things that God has given to us in Christ. You can see that. You can see that this is something that you are to do personally with these truths, rather than something that is external to you, because of what he says in verse 16. He said, look at the verse with me again. He says, taking up the shield of faith, that's what you do, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's something that you do. You have responsibility in this. You're not meant to be a passive observer that just lets whatever happens, happens, and to not consider and think and dwell and meditate upon the great truths of our salvation. You are to take these things and internalize them, because that is what creates the shield around your heart to give you the courage, the fortitude, the confidence to go forward. So what is this faith? Paul says, you settle in your mind an absolute conviction, a complete confidence, a total reliance, a settled assurance on the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation with Him. He says, you settle in your mind so that there is no doubt, that there is no room for hesitation, that you are confident in these things, you believe them, you embrace them, you accept them, they are yours, they belong to you as a gift from God to you. And you say, this is what I stake my life on. This is what I stake my eternity on. This is where I have put my foot down. My mind is made up and my foot is put down. I stand firm on this ground and I will not be moved. And you can have that kind of assurance because this isn't about what you believe, in one sense. What I mean by that is this, is that these things, these truths about the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation with Him, they're true whether or not you exist. They are independent of you. They are outside of you. This is not a simply matter, well, I believe this, and you know whatever you believe is fine with you too. No, we're not standing on the grounds of postmodern shifting sand. What we're standing on are on the certainties of revealed truth from God that are impenetrable, that are unchangeable, that are unshakable. And you say, that's what I own. That's my existence. That's what belongs to me. I believe that. I receive it. I rest in it. So, step back. Take a breath. And we ask ourselves this. Where is it that you're going to find courage to live in this evil world? It's not going to be fed by anything that's around you. What is it that's going to give you discernment in the midst of a weak, effeminate, professing, so-called evangelical church in the world today that thrives more on numbers than it does on truth and integrity? Where are you going to find the discernment to pick your way through that when you're just an ordinary Joe? And all of these forces are going against you. Beloved, talking about it in terms of your own internal corruption, your own battle and struggle with your own pursuit of righteousness, what is it that's going to give you strength in temptation? What is it that's going to motivate you to rise above that and say, there are greater affections of my heart. I'll deny myself in these sinful desires for the sake of something higher and better. What strengthens your heart in temptation? Except that the revelation of God is true. The righteousness of Christ is complete and impeccable. My reconciliation with God has brought me into His family and given me a position of security and belonging that I can't find anywhere else. When you feed your mind on truth like that, when you feed your mind on those unconquerable, unchanging things of God, you know what you find? Confidence. You find a shield that says, I'm not tempted to go after false doctrine. You find that temptation, in the words of the hymn writer, temptation itself loses its power when Christ is near. And beloved, mark it. What is it that will give you the strength not to be intimidated by the pulsating headlines of wickedness that would try to drive us into despair, discouragement, dispirited distrust? Where are you going to find strength like that? Except when the roots of your spiritual tree, so to speak, are drawing upon the fresh living water found in what Paul calls the armor of God.
You can be strong in the spiritual battles you face, not weak and fearful. Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has reminded you to always affirm your confidence in Christ. His victory over death and His resurrection assures us that all will be well in the end. Well, next time, Don will provide two other practical points to keep in mind as you move forward in your faith. Join us then for part two of a message titled, Strong in Faith. Meanwhile, we invite you to visit our website, thetruthpulpit.com. There you can download podcasts or find out how to receive CD copies of Don's radio messages for your personal study library. And if you want to go even more in depth, you'll also find the link, Follow Don's Pulpit. That'll take you to Don's full-length weekly sermons, not subject to the time editing needed for radio broadcasts. And if you're in the Cincinnati area, check out the service times for Truth Community Church, also on our website, and plan a visit. We'd love to welcome you. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on the Truth Pulpit.